looking forward to playing at home. You know, just looking at ODU, I know probably people in this state give Bobby credit. I'm not sure he gets enough credit on a national level for the job that he's done.
That is Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuente talking about Bobby Wilder, the head coach of Old Dominion. Monarchs, Hokies, 2 o'clock this Saturday on Fox Sports 910. And every Wednesday at this time, we welcome in the voice of Virginia Tech, brought to you by Cowan Gates, John Laser, as we call him around our house, Uncle John. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Wes. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm actually got 4 hours of sleep last night, so life's a little bit better this morning.
It's a positive.
It is. Fatherhood is a whole new experience that maybe someday you'll experience, and then I will laugh at you the way you at times are laughing at me.
I laughed at you in different areas before you had your daughter, so I'm not sure that's ever going to turn around for you.
I was going to say, it's nice to have some normalcy in life, my friend. John Laser is here, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. Before we start looking ahead, look back real quick. Record-setting day of offense last week in Greenville. You were there. You saw it. You called it. What do you think you learned about this still young offense?
Well, I'm not sure how much we learned. I think the one thing that we know now tangibly over 3 weeks is that Josh Jackson is capable of much more than maybe we were giving him credit for coming into the season. You heard lots of talk of being a game manager and efficiently running the offense, and that came from me as well, because quite frankly, that's what I was seeing in camp in terms of the synergy or lack thereof with the receivers. But he's been a playmaker, and he was against East Carolina. He doesn't have the biggest arm, but he does have an exceptionally accurate arm, and that includes on the deep ball down the field. Those two longer touchdowns to Cam Phillips over the middle were both precision throws, and I thought he also stepped up into some pressure. There wasn't a ton from East Carolina, but when he did get it, I still thought he put the ball on the money. And we took away that if you have a poor defense like we learned East Carolina was, and you could blow them off the ball and run the football, and they're also going to give you soft coverage on both sides of the field, that you certainly have the weapons to make them pay for it repeatedly. And that was certainly good to see, but at the same time, we're always a bit skeptical to want to see it against a higher level of competition. And I think in actuality, you will see a stiffer test defensively from Old Dominion this week than you did from East Carolina last week.
I was listening to Coach Fuente and Mike after on the post game, and look, not that a sports talk show host always love to agree with the coach, but I thought what he said was spot on. I agree with you. I don't know if we really learned anything, but what I thought we saw last Saturday was just point blank execution. And week three of the season to see execution at that level, that is something unique, that is something special, and that's what you want to see as we continue to progress through the season. And we're still learning about Josh Jackson. And at least, I got to say this because it's kind of one of those bland things. It's not sexy. We don't talk about it enough. It is amazing how he has protected the football. I mean, he is wise beyond his years, and the way that he protects the football is something special that does need to be pointed out.
Yeah, he does a great job of, one, getting the offense into the right play and also taking care of the football in the run game. I think people look back to last year and they say Jerod Evans, or think Jerod Evans was maybe a little bit cavalier with where he was throwing the football. That wasn't the case. He didn't throw any interceptions. It was just the transfers. It was the handoffs. It was the timing of the sweep motions and some of those other things that got this offense in trouble. And that's not all on Jerod. That's on some of the other people as well. But at the same time, right now, when you have the timing down, and that all starts with the quarterback and Josh Jackson, and that leads to ball security, and he's making the right decision. He hasn't tried to make, by my count, any hero throws, even on third down thus far. If he's under pressure, he just benches the football and will throw it away. But he's also putting the football in spots where only his guy can go get it. I hate the term 50-50 ball, because that's not right. It's not 50% it's going to be the offensive player and 50% is going to be the defensive player. If you're putting it in the right spot, what that means is 50-50, your receiver is going to have a chance to make the play. I think it's been a higher percentage than that, but I think he continues to put those fades in positions where it's going to be Cam Phillips or Sean Savoy or nobody else, and that's the same for his throws across the middle. And the one turnover that this offense has, kind of an aberrational type thing, and Jackson's numbers could honestly be a little bit better, because there have been some drops. I counted 3 three against East Carolina, all well-thrown balls from Josh Jackson. You know, so again, yeah, to your point, he's doing an incredible job valuing the football. I want to see that, not because I'm skeptical of Josh, but just because if it's there, then this could be a really special year for the Hokies. But I want to see it against an offense that can bring a ton of pressure, and we're obviously going to get that chance in 2 weeks.
We'll get the matchup. We'll get into the matchup this Saturday. We'll get into 2 weeks. But while we're talking about storylines of the past and into this week, Adonis Alexander, listening to Bud Foster yesterday, doesn't sound like he's going to play again this week. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not asking you to, but whatever it is here, it's caused him to miss a game, possibly two. And how concerning is it to you not to have Alexander in the lineup, possibly not have him in the lineup next week?
Well, it is a concern because you saw how fickle depth can be when you had that phantom, as Coach Fuente called on Tech Talk Live, targeting call against Greg Stroman at East Carolina. And it wasn't targeting, and you didn't wind up losing him. But at the same time, had you lost him, you're looking at about three quarters in that game of going to a freshman in Bryce Watts or a sophomore in Tyree Rogers, redshirt freshman in Tyree Rogers, and looking at shuffling some other personnel. And suddenly it's like your batting order in baseball, everything's off. Whereas before you had the three corners and everyone's like, how are you going to play them all? Who's going to get time? Well, obviously over the course of a game and a season, you're going to get all three of those guys in. So you're fine right now with Brandon Faison and Greg Stroman. It's just a matter of when something happens, not if something happens over the course of the next few weeks that you're going to need Adonis Alexander. I won't speculate as to the timeline of his return. That's Coach Fuente's job. I do have some knowledge of it, but at the same time, it is a concern for this weekend, and I truly do believe that they're evaluating it day to day, and in this case, week to week. And do want to add that he is practicing. He is still very much a part of this team. From what I understand, he's handling this penalty the right way and learning from it. I know he's been on the scout team the last couple of weeks, so giving some athletic advantage to that side and a good look to our offense. So he is participating, and I do think at some point he will be back.
Come back with John Lazor. We'll look at the matchup on Saturday against Old Dominion and how do the Hokies avoid overlooking this week to next week. John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Callan Gates on Fox Sports 910. Joined by John Lazor, the voice of Virginia Tech, brought to you by Callan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. Old Dominion, Virginia Tech, Saturday, coverage beginning at 12:30 right here on Fox Sports 910. All right, Old Dominion's the opponent. I would say there are two challenges here. Beating Old Dominion and not overlooking things, because we know what's next week. Clemson, 8 o'clock in the national spotlight. Any concern about that this weekend?
No, not necessarily, because I have the luxury of going to practice and I see the work that they're doing and hear the message from Justin Fuente, and I think this is a group that has learned that lesson before. Not going to lie to you, I was a little nervous in the first quarter against East Carolina. I'm not taking anything away from Old Dominion, but that was the game that I was worried about because of the travel and where you were going and your energy level off the previous 2 weeks, including that short week against Delaware, and I thought they came out that way, a little flat-footed against the Pirates, but then ultimately remembered how good they were and what they were capable of doing on both sides of the ball, and that's what I expect to see this week. I find, Wes, that this is going to be a two-week rising up of this program because the excitement level is already here because the team is already here, and I think the party starts this Saturday and continues through what should be an epic weekend when Clemson is here. So I'm not necessarily too concerned about them not playing well. This is a capable Old Dominion football team, and I think they're going to be better offensively despite the fact that they're starting a 17-year-old at quarterback. I think he's the best option for them and the most talented that they have on that team, and I think this offense came to life once they brought him in against North Carolina. Say what you will about the outcome of that game already being determined, but no, I think this team, as in Virginia Tech, is in a good place right now. Clearly they're the more physical team than Old Dominion and have a physical advantage in this game, and I think they'll exercise it.
You can go wherever you want with the answer to this question. What do you want to see on Saturday from Virginia Tech?
Well, I think you'd like to see them win in a fashion that, A, keeps them healthy, but also keeps them rolling with this momentum offensively and stay with what you've been to this point. You have not certainly shown everything, I don't think, on either side of the ball. I don't think we've seen a ton of exotic blitzing, from Bud Foster and some of the more complex things that he can do to try to confuse a young quarterback, which in this case this weekend will be Steve Williams, but going forward will be Kelly Bryant. And I think the same is true offensively, but I'd just like to see a continuation of that. You want to go into Clemson feeling very confident about where you are as a unit and feeling like you're going to have a chance to beat that team. Obviously, the Hokies are going to be decided underdogs in that game. So it's interesting. I know it sounds greedy, Wes, but you'd like to win this week against Old Dominion, and in a perfect world, you'd like to do it in a fashion that sets you up for success the following week.
Yeah, it's like being a boxer. You'd love to see a good setup fight before the main event because the stars are aligning for Clemson, Virginia Tech, 8 o'clock, prime time. And I know a lot of Hokie fans would love to see a visit from a guy named Herb Street and Davis and Corso. But everybody's got to take care of their business this Saturday for that to happen. 12:30, coverage begins. Heard you got an addition to the booth this weekend.
Yeah, nothing major, though.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. You could say coverage begins with me. It doesn't make you a narcissist. You are a narcissist, but that statement wouldn't add to it.
So I just set
true.
You up. I just set you up for that line right there.
I appreciate it.
I knew you needed to get your morning shot in. It's like people have a cup of coffee. You just need to fire one in there before I let
did.
You go.
Well, I'm broadcasting from your guest room right now, which apparently has been deemed off limits to me for the rest of the week, which is a half of my apartment here in Blacksburg. So we're rolling out the red carpet, Wes. But no, we're excited to have you. And I'm excited for Facebook Live, too, in the post game, and also our normal radio coverage, which folks can, of course, hear right here on Fox Sports 910. But, you know, we got some traction going. You said stars are aligning for this program, and that's absolutely true, but it's also true for everything that surrounds the program, which includes us. So it's an exciting time down here in the Berg.
I'm excited. I watch your first broadcast, the post game live. I am very excited to be part of it. We'll do it this Saturday, buddy. Have a good one, and don't go in my room.
I'm in here right now, but
get
I
out.
Won't come back.
Get out of my
right.
space.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Later, John Lazer. Voice of the Hokies brought to you by Cowan Gates. And yes, for those who do not know, yeah, nothing like getting a new gig and then taking the first week off, but that's because of the birth of my child. But yes, this Saturday I'll be lucky enough to be joining Andrew Allegretta for the Virginia Tech pregame show, 12:30. Mr. Allegretta, he will be hosting. I will just be the mere co-host. And then for all you Hokie fans, after the game, jump on Facebook Live. I will be hosting Hokies Post Game Live from inside Lane Stadium. You can check it out by just going to the VT Athletics app and click on and watch Lays and I interview players and coaches post game immediately following the action on Saturday. Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910, joined by the play-by-play voice of the Wahoos, Dave Kane, at 8:45.